நமோ ஓம் விஷ்ணு பதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரசாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதி பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமினி நாமினி நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவிம் கௌரவாணி பிரஜாரிணே நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்ய தேசதாரிணி ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபோ நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி குரு பக்த பந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம் 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 ஹரே 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 கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம் 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 ஹரே 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 கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே 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 ராம் 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 ஹரே ஹரே. லாஸ்ட் ஃப்ரைடே வி வர் டிஸ்கஸிங் டூ வெர்சஸ், verse 17 avinashidu tadviddhi yena sarvamidam tatam vinasham avyasyasyal na kaschil kartum arhati. That was one verse, and then after that andavanda mimee deha nityasya ukta sharirina anashino aprameyasya tasmal yudyasya bharata. These were the two verses we saw on Friday. So Krishna says there andavanda mime deha nityasya ukta sharirina anashino aprameyasya anashino nagaschil kartum arhati. Earlier verse Krishna says avinashidu tadviddhi. Avinashi means which has no destruction, which can never be destroyed. And then in the next verse, Krishna says, andavandam ime deha. Andavandam. Andavandam means that words gets destroyed. So one does not get destroyed and the other one cannot be destroyed. Or one gets destroyed and the other one cannot be destroyed. So that is the two different verses indicating. Avinashidu tadviddhi. Sorry. Avinashidu tadviddhi. It has no destruction. Avinashi it is. Yena sarvamidam tadam. And that is permeating throughout the creation. And in the next verse Krishna says, andavandam ime deha. It will be destroyed. It cannot stay in that condition any time. So, this aham and idam. Aham is the avinashi. That means the soul is avinashi. And idam, the jagat, the creation, is andavanda. It has an end. So this idam or the creation includes right from our ignorance in the sushupti state onwards. Everything, if you come down, it all will be destroyed. Sushupti state, that avidya will be destroyed on liberation. In the subtle body, when we come to the subtle body will be killed at liberation. Gross body will die within this world. So they all belong to idam. Aham is the only thing which never gets destroyed. You know, aham is the soul. Soul never gets destroyed, but idam will get all destroyed, including the avidya from sushupti onwards. Avidya and sushupti, the dream state, the subtle body, and the jagra state, the gross body senses, they all get destroyed eventually. Avyaktal dehavaryandam. Dehavaryandam means at the destruction of the body, it all becomes avyaktam. So, when it comes to the gross body, it is easier to identify this, because in the gross body, whatever we have experienced in the boyhood or in the childhood, that goes away when you come to the youth. The body has changed, and all the subtle body also changes, the mind changes, the intelligence changes, everything changes at that point. So Krishna is saying that in the same way, in the old age, everything goes away. Everything also changes in the old age. And at the death, the body disappears in the fire. It gets destroyed in the fire. Everything is andavanda mime deha. Why did Krishna say these things at this point to Arjuna? The reason for that is in order to get that detachment from the body. In order to get the detachment from the body. Because in spiritual life, the most important thing is this vairagyam. When vairagyam with the body doesn't come, constantly thinking about and meditating on the body is not a good thing for spiritual advancement. So that is why Krishna point blank told Arjuna, Andavanda mime deha. You are talking about something which has a very, very temporary existence, this material body. And this vairagyam is the first thing that is necessary in spiritual life. If there is no vairagyam in this world, if our attachment is strong here, then the spiritual life will not take off. It will keep on dragging behind all the time. In almost every case you can look at our own life, what is drawing us back is our attachment to this world. So this is an important thing, and this one thing was very strictly followed in the olden days, this vairagyam. Only if you have the vairagyam, you take to spiritual life. But in the modern world, this is one thing that is missing very much. I was mentioning this yesterday also, that it's all mixed up now, that people take it for granted that spiritual life is for everyone. Spiritual life is not for everyone. Only one who has come to this understanding that this material world has nothing to offer, and we want to leave this and don't want to get back to this situation again, and there is nothing to enjoy here. So certain conclusions come from discrimination within oneself. Otherwise, if we simply make spiritual life also another entertainment, and that's what's happens in the modern world. Spiritual life has become a very entertainment thing. So therefore, this entertainment has extended into television and other things. This is not how the spiritual life is to be practiced. It is the lack of that vairagyam inside, because they want all the happiness of the material life plus a extra little spiritual life added to that. So if you make it like that, then it becomes very complicated. And so many foolish, extremely foolish things is done in the modern world, but it has become acceptable. At one time there used to be the advertisement, meet a bona fide spiritual master, advertisement for a bona fide spiritual master, meet a self-realized soul, meet a pure devotee, meet this, meet that, advertisement by the different parties. So if you look into the last generation, if you show all these things to them, they'll just laugh at it, looking at how much we have fallen away from spiritual life. Spiritual life is not for advertisement. Spiritual life is not for entertainment. Spiritual life is meant for understanding things with the proper way and make progress on the spiritual path and come out of the material existence. And ever since this has started, you can see how things have become very, very complex. So Krishna says to Arjuna, Andavanda mime deha, anything related to body and bodily activities, one should give up. Immediately one comes to spiritual life. At least he should not make it as a show to the world outside that this is the way spiritual life is to be run. Because that will not have any genuine impact on the people. It will only become a massive advertisement campaign, nothing more than that. So, Krishna is saying here, first thing, in order to have that detachment from the material body, one has to understand, I am not this body. And I am not this body. And on the other hand, Krishna says, Nityasyokta Sharina. First he said, Andavanda Vime Deha, that you are not the body, body is going to finish. Then he says, Nityasyokta Sharina, that is existing permanently in this world is that Shariri, the soul. So that identification from the beginning is required. Body, I am not this body, body is not mine, and body is not meant for me. This is the understanding for a jnani. For a jnani, this is the understanding. I am not this body, body is not mine, and this body is of no use to me. This way a jnani thinks. Instead, if you replace that with Krishna, then it becomes a devotee. That body is Krishna's. I am not this body, body is Krishna's. Body is meant for Krishna's service. If you take it that way, it is bhakti. That's the difference between a jnani and a bhakti, bhakta. Jnani thinks I'm not this body, body is not mine, body is not meant for my service, it's not no use to me. But if you replace that, the body belongs to Krishna. And body is meant for Krishna's service, and body is only can be used only in Krishna's service. If this understanding comes, it's a devotee's approach. So eventually it is the same thing. If you use it for, as long as you don't use it for your sense gratification, with the understanding, a jnani understands things, and jnani recognizes this fact, I'm not this body. He is very firmly rooted on that. I'm not this body, body is not mine, body is of no use to me. And devotee thinks, Krishna's body, a body is Krishna's, and Krishna's for Krishna's service it should be used. And Krishna, the body is only a tool in Krishna's hands. In other words, body is only a tool in Krishna's hands. If this development, if you develop this understanding, then attachment for the body will go. Attachment for the body will go. At the right at this moment, we are thinking, I am this body, body is not mine, I have to look after this body is the only thing that I've got in this world. In this way, our thinking has developed. Instead, either like a jnani or like a devotee, if you develop the relationship with the body, Krishna says that will save you from this attachment. So, according to a devotee's case, the body is nothing but a machine in Krishna's hands. The way Krishna wants us to think, we think. The way we speak, based on what Krishna prompts us to speak from inside. So to such an extent that surrender is important within one's own life. If we understand this, then we have become free. That is freedom. Freedom from the false ego. So long as we have false ego, we think everything in terms of me. Isn't it? I am doing this. Oh, I decided. It is my idea and I am going to do this. Instead, when everything is replaced by, it is Krishna's desire that I am doing it this way. So Krishna's plan that I have to do it in this way. So in that way, when Krishna replaces everything related to me, my doing, then it becomes freedom from false ego. Then the jiva or the conditioned soul becomes simply an instrument in Krishna's hands. Then nityasyokta sharirena, Krishna says here, isn't it? Nityasyokta sharirena. Whoever shariri is Krishna. Isn't it? The soul inside, shariri, is Krishna. So shariram or the body belongs to shariri, Krishna. What is shariri's nature? Shariri has no destruction. Shariri has no destruction. And that is why Krishna has used that word aprameyasya. Vinashino aprameyasya, he says. This is a very, very, very important word in that verse, aprameyasya. Aprameyasya, if you understand that word properly with the gravity Krishna has spoken that word, there's a lot of things that has to change in our life also, in our approach also. Generally, aprameyasya means immeasurable. Prabhupada has given the translation as immeasurable. In other words, something which you cannot measure. Aprameyasya means something which you cannot measure. In other words, what Krishna is saying there, this soul that is sitting inside our body, which is Krishna, and his potency and capabilities, you cannot measure it. You cannot even measure it, the power of that soul inside. Why did Krishna say this? Generally, we will say that everything in relationship with everything in relationship with this life, we will say people don't have any faith in God. Generally we make this statement, isn't it? People don't have faith in God. That's why we have all the problems in this world. In this way we analyze. Sometimes we criticize others for that. But this is something different. When we talk about faith in God, is a power outside or a God outside, most of the people talk about, oh, he has no faith in God. But Krishna is saying, don't delude yourself about thinking about somebody outside. I am sitting right in your heart there, and you have not taken that note of seriously. This is very important. Ishvara, the word used in the Vedas, with the understanding that he is sitting inside and controlling you all the time. The control is from inside, not from outside. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita you will see this verse, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. I am controlling everything. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. That for us, for the followers of Vedic philosophy, Ishvara is inside. Not outside somewhere else in the church or in the temple in the mosque. No. Ishvara is right inside controlling us all the time. Therefore, Aprameyasya is referring to that Ishvara inside the heart, not to the deity in the temple or in the church or in the mosque or elsewhere. He is right there inside controlling you every second. That's important understanding. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe. Hriddeshe means inside, in the heart. Arjuna, tishtadi, I am situated there. And then what do I do? Brahmayan sarvabhudani. All the living entities in this world are acting in this world. Yantrarudhani mayaya. Exactly like a yantram. Yantram means a machine. Just like one of those giant wheels. How we are rotating. All the living entities in this world are nothing but me sitting in everyone's heart and moving them according to my plan, not to our plan, according to his plan inside. If we recognize this, Krishna says, you understand this, and that person inside is aprameyasya. He is aprameyasya. He has immeasurable capacity inside. He cannot measure how much capacity he has inside. Krishna says, if you recognize this one point, all your problems are solved in this world. It's an important statement in the Bhagavad Gita. That anashino aprameyasya, Krishna says, aprameyasya. We are not taken that word seriously. That is our biggest problem. So what happens when we have a problem? We go around looking for solutions. Isn't it? We go around looking for solutions. And not only we doing this, the whole world is doing this. Not only on an individual level, the whole world is busy with this. How to find us, meetings after meeting, and discussions in one place, another place, and then G8, G10, G20 like that, keep on going in this one way or the other. But all these things, as far as Krishna is concerned, is nonsense. Anashino aprameyasya. That aprameyasya's power, we have not understood. And this is why learned people, learned in the Shastra, who understand Krishna, they won't go building schools and hospitals. This is also another important thing. Schools and hospitals are those who have lost faith in this anashino aprameyasya inside. Once you have lost faith in him, we are not talking about people who do schools and hospitals in the name of charity and all. People do a lot of things in this world. But fundamental thing, what Krishna wants us to get to us, is that this soul inside, when you don't understand him properly, then you will go and do all these kind of things. Schools, building hospitals, building all kinds of charities. Krishna is concerned, no. Why? Anashino aprameyasya. If you have understood him properly, you don't need any of those things. This is the point. And Prabhupada never agreed with these things of hospitals and schools. Prabhupada had no plans like that. Many instances, people used to ask Prabhupada, why don't you start these hospitals and schools like other... Prabhupada said, why? What do we need that for? Anashino aprameyasya. He is inside there, who is there to protect you. Whatever happens in life, according to your karma, whatever that has to happen, will happen. This is aprameyasya, understanding. That you don't do things for the sake of to the body, when you know that very well inside that body Krishna is controlling everything. What's need is there to build hospitals and schools. That was Prabhupada's point about this. And this is those who have understood that Krishna's presence inside. So understanding of Ishvara and understanding deity and accepting Krishna in the temple are two different things. Going to temple is okay. We have to do that for our spiritual advancement. But higher than that is this understanding of Krishna's presence inside. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. So there are many examples in the history. This Aprameyasya has shown its power. Aprameyasya has shown its power. And it is a very powerful thing. There is one book, you can buy that. It's called about naturopathy. The treatment, like allopathy, homeopathy, Ayurvedam, there's naturopathy, isn't it? So this naturopathy, there is one acharya called Lakshman Sharma. Lakshman Sharma has written that book, Pandit Lakshman Sharma. He has written that book, and he gives one example of this Anashino Aprameyasya inside, where he used to live. Right opposite his house, there was one family who maintained a few cows. It is in the village, somewhere in the village. So it so happened that once one of the cows got sick. One of the cows got very sick. So the householder, he brought, as usual, like he brought the veterinary doctor. And the veterinary doctor injected certain medicines, and for a few weeks he kept coming to attend to this cow. After some time, the veterinary doctor said to him that this cow will die in a few days. It will die. There's nothing much I can do. It's already very, very sick. This cow is very sick and it's going to die. And they have tied this cow inside the cow shed in their little house, wherever backside they had a few cows. So it was there like that. So while discussing with this neighbor, the neighbor mentioned this, that that cow is going to die in a few days. The veterinary doctor has confirmed like this, he said. So Lakshman Sharma, who had a lot of faith in the power of the soul inside, told him, look, anyway it is going to die now, isn't it? The cow is going to die. Why don't you untie the cow where he was tied to some post inside? Why don't you release him and let it go freely, whatever it want to do, let it do that. So the householder said, fine, anyway the cow is going to die. So he took the knot or the rope from his neck and let the cow go. So as soon as they released that cow from the bondage, what did the cow quietly manage to get up from its condition? Very unhealthy state it was. It somehow managed to get up. And because there was some sunshine outside, it went and started lying in the sun. For 2 or 3 days, it hasn't eaten anything. It was starving and it was lying in the sun. Third or fourth day, then cow started feeling some desire to eat and to drink. So it looked for some water. The water was kept in a big pot for the cows to drink. So the cow goes there and start drinking this water. After drinking the water, then it goes and lies in the sun again. So this carried on for a week or so. Eventually what happened? As soon as it got some strength from the sunshine and from the water, it started eating the grass, little bit eating the grass. And in another 2 weeks' time, the cow was back into health again, fully healthy conditions. And whatever they offered the food, what they give it to the cows in villages, the cow started eating all of that. Lakshman Sharma says to his neighbor, Anashino Aprameyasya, you don't understand these things. He said, we think that our so-called veterinary doctor and medicines are the one keeps the body going. No. Inside, if he decides that he should live, and in his capacity is unmeasurable, you cannot understand that. Unlimited it is. There are many instances throughout the history. People have come out from illnesses from which they thought that they will never come back again. They will never get cured again. And therefore, why is that happening? Because inside, sitting inside the heart, Krishna has decided that this person should live. That is Anashino Aprameyasya. Anashino Aprameyasya Tasmad Yudhyasya Bharata, Krishna says to Arjuna. So, this is the important point here in that verse. Andavandam ime deha nityasyokta sharirina Anashino Aprameyasya nakaschil. Sorry, Anashino Aprameyasya Anashino Aptasmad Yudhyasya Bharata. Krishna says there, Andamanda Mimedeha Nityasyokta Sharirina Anashino Aprameyasya Tasmad Yudhyasya Bharata.
Yeah.
So, when we look at the first thing, the mistake we do, is that instead of having faith in the power of that imperishable, powerful soul inside, we believe in our intelligence. And with the results that everything we try to find out, the solutions outside. Have you noticed the birds, the bees, they depend on anything like us do? No. When they get sick, nature provides them all the cure, isn't it? They also get cured when they get sick. And because they are more in tune with the nature, they have they are not distracted like the way we are distracted. Our intelligence inside takes us away from this. So intelligence is becoming an obstacle in developing the faith in the power of Ishvara, power of Krishna inside. We tend to go away from Krishna very easily because of this influence of intelligence. Had the intelligence been not there, we would have been more dependent on him. Because this intelligence, we think intelligence is a great thing, isn't it? But intelligence takes you away from that and takes you to put your faith in all the other rubbish things. And we start believing such things. Krishna is pointing out this fact here, and that is why he said in the Upanishads it says like this: Aprameyam sarvajnaha sarvavid yasya esham bhuvi yasya esham bhuvi yasya jnanamayam. This is the Upanishad statement on the aprameyasya. Then aprameyam sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha, everything is known to him inside. When you are making plans to go for treatment outside, he says, all right, you go ahead with your plans. Sarvajnaha, sarvavid, there is nothing is unknown to him. Yase esham bhuvi, yase jnanamayam. And he is full of knowledge inside. There is nothing higher than that, what you can offer to him. When once a sage, this question was asked, that about praying, he said, do not delude yourself by thinking about a God outside yourself. He is right inside there, and you are not giving any attention to him, and don't delude yourself that there is some other God somewhere sitting there who is there to help you. Because we go with this understanding, isn't it? When we have trouble, we go to the temple. When we start praying, oh, save me from this, save me from that. But all our prayers go in that direction. So, the realized souls, you don't see them running to the temple when they have trouble. Only us who run to the temple or going to other sources for protection or shelter. But realized personalities, they know that whatever has to happen will happen. Anashino aprameyasya. If he wants to cure it, he can cure it. But if he doesn't want to cure it, it's meant to go, it will go. No other intelligence will work in that direction. That is an important point Krishna is saying here. You have to experience Krishna at the center of our heart, where this consciousness of I coming from. Then Krishna also has to be experienced within the heart, not outside. Krishna also has to be, because consciousness is coming from inside. And consciousness is the symptom of the soul. And because consciousness is coming from inside, the presence of the soul is also inside. And soul or Krishna has to be experienced there, right inside. So, because of our faith is so weak in the presence of Krishna's inside, and therefore, and because of this, what has happened? And because this faith has weakened in us, all this development starts in the world. Isn't it? Economic development and all other development has come. Why? Because we have lost faith in the power of the soul inside. So much everywhere we want to develop now, isn't it? The whole world is crazy for development. And no, if somebody is not developing, we go and force them to develop. Is it not? That's what we are doing most of the places. We don't let people live their life. We go everywhere. Why you are living like this? Why don't you develop? Keep on developing. Why? The more we keep on developing, the more we lose the faith in the power of the soul. Krishna's presence inside, we are completely writing it off, in other words. That's what we are doing by our so-called development programs. So, what is lacking in the world? From the spiritually advanced people, they say, the only thing what we are lacking is Krishna consciousness. There's nothing lacking in this world. The one and the only thing what we lack in this world is Krishna consciousness. When we lack Krishna consciousness, all these development activities begin. There is nothing to be developed here. That's what Krishna is saying here. That we have no faith in there, and therefore all these development activities, and who creates that? Maya does that. That is why when we have lost faith in Krishna, Ishvara inside, Maya says, come on, start your development work now. And then we go on developing. Some of the things what we did is unbelievable. And the whole world goes along with it, isn't it? All this war goes on in Afghanistan. Now we say we have to get them developed properly so that they won't fight. And another billions of pounds are pumped into it. The big leaders are discussing how to develop Afghanistan. And they never seem to give up their hope on all these things. It's unbelievable that their faith in Maya. They have so much faith in Maya that Maya tells them, look, keep on developing, everything will be okay. And they managed to get one election through, that didn't work out. Now they want to build the roads, bridges, industries, so that everybody can find work there. So Maya, this is Maya's game. Maya enjoys all these things. She sees that how these fools are playing according to my plan. Whereas Anashino Aprameyasya, once we accept, then Krishna is right in the heart. If this consciousness comes to these big leaders, then these activities will come to an end. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So, and then we have also seen that the desire, even after coming to spiritual life, why opens schools, hospitals, for name, fame, all these kind of things. Oh, he so much wants to do service to the world and service to humanity. All these kind of ideas. That's when this schools business and hospitals business started. Schools and hospitals won't take you to spiritual life. What will take you to spiritual is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Nothing else. Anashino Aprameyasya. This knowledge of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. That is what is more important. We understand the meaning of the word Aprameyam. But we have installed him in some temple and forgotten about him. That's what's happening all the time. We install him in the temple. I've opened a temple now. Now I've done my part. Everything will go out. No, it won't work like that. The faith has to be inside where his presence is. Though actually, material body is not ours. Material body belongs to the false ego. Isn't it? Due to the development of false ego, material body came into existence. In the first instance, material body would not have come to existence if the false ego wasn't there. So false ego is the origin, and this personality of identity with the person is also a part of that. That is the reason personality develops any kind of technique, still it doesn't influence the body so much, because body belongs to false ego. body does not belong to false ego. Because of that, avinashi tu tadviddhi, Krishna said in the beginning, isn't it? And avinashi aprameyam. That avinashi and aprameyam. Avinashi means one who has no destruction. Aprameya means who has immeasurable capabilities. Immeasurable. That's an important word, aprameyasya. Anashino aprameyasya. And this body is nothing but an instrument in the hands of this immeasurable power inside. Body is an instrument in the hands of the immeasurable power. This is the reason whatever development we do through our ahankaram or false ego, on which we develop the economic development, it is not giving any satisfaction to the soul inside, because this is coming from the false ego, all the development work. If he knows this, that Chaitanyam inside or the living force inside can use this body whichever it wants to do it. This body is in the hands of that power. Krishna says to Arjuna, Tasmat, this body is not yours. You are talking to me now because you are the ego. And the ego is talking to me. Krishna is saying, this body belongs to me. So I have already decided, Krishna says, how this body is going to be utilized. He says to Arjuna. So, I have already decided that you are going to fight with this body. It's all tasmad yudhyasya bharata. So neither you have any right to go away or to retain this body. It is in bondage. You have no freedom to do that. And who is trying to do that, to go away from the battlefield and to protect the body? That's a false ego who is doing that. Because you have not recognized the fact that body belongs to the soul, to the Chaitanyam inside, Krishna. Ahankaram or false ego is doing this. That's why the sages will tell us that when we talk about self-realization, they'll tell us, just stay quiet, nothing else to be done. In other words, by staying quiet, what happens is the false ego don't start working. At least the false ego don't display its nature. So in order to free oneself from the display of false ego, we have to move back to the self, the soul. How do we move to the self? That whenever false ego is dictating something, at that point we have to find out the origin of the false ego, where it's coming from. And majority of our activities in this world is coming from false ego. False ego is telling us to do this, do that. So Krishna is saying here that once you know that this dead material body or dead matter is nothing but an instrument or a tool in the hands of the living force inside, which is Krishna, then you can work freely in this world with that understanding, complete independence. That body is not mine, body belongs to Krishna. With that understanding, if we act, false ego will not interfere in that. That's what Krishna is saying here. Once it so happened that there was one famous sannyasi. This sannyasi used to live in Mumbai. And he lived there, and before he became a sannyasi, he used to work in Mumbai with the Times of India and newspaper for a long time. But he had a lot of spiritual desires inside. And so one day he decided to give up all this, his working life, and he gave up everything and went to Himalayas looking for a spiritual master. There he spent a lot of time, because Himalayas have this tremendous capacity to inspire you in spiritual life. Just by being present there, it does that. It has that potency in there. Because you can imagine, all the great, great sages, great rishis, they lived there for this reason only. As soon as you see the Himalayas, it's a direct manifestation of Krishna's opulences there. So Himalayas inspired him, and while wandering around in the Himalayas, like places from Rishikesh onwards, upwards, that he met his spiritual master. Then many years he spent his time with the spiritual master. Spiritual master was a realized soul. He has already given up all connections with this world. And he had been living in Himalayas for many, many years. He was one of a personality like that. So under his guidance, he spent a lot of time there. Studied shastrams from him and got a deeper understanding of everything. After he has got all this, he decided to leave Himalayas and come back to the world again. So this person, he came back, he established his own institution and started preaching the knowledge what he has acquired from his teacher. And while doing that, he also kept contact with his teacher all the time. He went back to him now and then to discuss with him. And the teacher didn't say anything about his activities. Didn't say one word about it. Teacher left him to himself. If he has understood properly, he will act properly. That was his understanding. So the teacher in the Himalayas never interfered in the activities of this person. But after many years of traveling and doing his different activities in preaching programs and things like that, he came to know one day that his spiritual master has fallen ill. So this person who has come to the world and who was doing the preaching, he has now by now acquired a lot of fame, a lot of wealth as well. And he felt that my spiritual master is ill, let me go and help him, he says. So he goes to Himalayas to see his spiritual master. When he saw the spiritual master, he says to the spiritual master, Guru Maharaj, you have been suffering like this for the last quite a few weeks, because he has become very ill, very, very ill. And I have been thinking that we have much better medical facilities once you come out from here. Either we can go to Delhi or we can go to America for treatment. He says, I can arrange everything for you. There will be no problem, he says. But spiritual master has gone beyond all these stages, what this disciple is talking about. Spiritual master has been thinking that Krishna has allowed me to enjoy the beauty of Himalayas and engage in spiritual life, completely situated, focused on my soul for so many years. And Yamadharma Raja is waiting outside for this body. So it's rather better that I hand it over to him and leave this place as soon as possible. That was his attitude. So, but when this disciple kept on pushing, disciple had a lot of gratitude to him for what he has done to him. And the disciple did make a lot of success in his spiritual life by preaching and presenting to other people, helping a lot of people in spiritually. But on that process, he has forgotten anashino aprameyasya. That thing has gone away from him. It becomes weakened. So this Guru Maharaj told him that when he kept on pushing this, he says, does no one die in America? Or does nobody dies in Delhi? He says, what are you dragging me for? He said, I have come here understanding this. I had full faith in that power which has kept this body for so long. We'll keep it if necessary. I don't need to go to Delhi or to America for treatment, he says to him. So it is only then the disciple realized the difference in the difference in the faith, what the Guru Maharaj had and what the disciple had. Guru Maharaj was seeing Himalayas as the direct manifestation of Krishna, Brahman, presence there in this world. He was not seeing as the stone and the rivers and the water and the trees in that way. So the disciple says at that point, one morning when I went with him walking in Himalayas, he was standing there and recognizing the Brahma's creation and recognizing the beauty of this creation, Krishna's creation. Whereas I was seeing everything as the trees, the plants, the rivers and the stones and everything, completely from the matter, level of matter. Whereas he was seeing it as a Brahman. Brahman's manifestation. So what the point is that once you have reached that stage of realization, anashino aprameyasya, that aprameyam, you cannot measure the power of the soul inside. All the great personalities, Mahatmas, have stuck on this. They stayed with this understanding. They will not be driven by our so-called medical treatment plans and all other solutions we have got to offer. As much as it is in relationship with the body, it is like that. They do not accept our recommendations. They also do not accept our recommendations for peace in this world, for bringing peace to this world. We believe in all these modern techniques of meetings and discussions and diplomacy and all that. They don't believe in that. The Mahatmas don't believe in diplomacy. Mahatmas don't believe in all this kind of patch-up work. Because these are patch-up work. Even if you patch it up, for some time it will give you some peace. The permanent and the perfect solution is Krishna consciousness. There is no other solution. That unless we understand Krishna within the heart is dictating things to us, Krishna within the heart is controlling everybody, and if this understanding comes to people, then there will be no problems. This is the conclusion from the sages. The rishis have confirmed this all the way through. So what their understanding is this, that when we go to them with the problems, they say to you like this, just be quiet, don't do anything. Only thing, don't go across when Krishna is making some decision, stop it by your activity. That's what most of the time we do, isn't it? Krishna is finding, because we have lost that faith in Krishna and we became so indifferent to Krishna's instructions. That when Krishna wants to give you some peace, don't come across and stop it by your plans. That's all what they ask you to do. That's the most important thing. You don't go across when Krishna makes some decisions for your own benefit. That if that faith is inside strongly, then we won't get disturbed over these things. And the modern world, we become so faithless in Krishna's power. More, we have become so independent in our capacity to do things of our own. Along with that, Maya has given a lot of options also for us. If you are sick, there are plenty of hospitals, isn't it? So many private NHS, and then if not America, anywhere you go. All this is happening, why? Because that faith has weakened. Anashino aprameyasya. That aprameyam is so powerful that is, Krishna says that nobody can protect you like the way he can protect you from the, as far as the body is concerned. So Krishna says to here that with this understanding you fight this war. You fight this war. So nobody can protect this body more than what Krishna can protect. If Krishna wants to protect, nobody can kill it. And if Krishna wants to kill it, nobody can protect it. That is a famous conclusion. Tasmad, Krishna says again, Tasmad, Yudhyasya Bharata, fight. Because of that, you fight here. Then, saying this, Krishna goes on to the next verse, which is taken from Kathavanishad. Many of these verses are from Kathavanishad, directly or indirectly. Sometimes it is a directly verse taken, or some other time it is a same meaning but spoken in a different verse. I will chant that verse now. Verse number 19. Ya'enam veti hantaram.
Ya'enam veti hantaram.
Yaschainam manyadehatam.
Yaschainam manyadehatam.
Ubhautau no vijanito.
Ubhautau no vijanito.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Once again. Ya enam veti hantaram.
Ya enam veti hantaram.
Yas chainam manyate hatam.
Yas chainam manyate hatam.
Ubautau na vijanito.
Ubautau na vijanito.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Translation. He who thinks that the living entity is the slayer or that he is slain does not understand. One who is in knowledge knows that the self always not nor is slain. Self slays not nor is slain. The attributes of the soul. Krishna is discussing now the nature of the soul. First thing Krishna says, Ya enam veti hantaram, yat chainam manyate hatam. If one is thinking that I can kill the soul, Krishna says it's not going to happen. Then, ubhau tauna vijanido naim hantina hanyate. Nobody can kill the soul and soul cannot kill anyone. That is the first statement. Now, this is, in the Kathopanishad, it says like this, that the Kathopanishad says, Hanta chinmanyade hanto, hatas chinmanyade hatam, ubhau tau na vijanito, nayam hantina hanyate. This is a verse in the Kathopanishad. So Krishna has kept the last two words, ubhau tau na vijanito, nayam hantina hanyate. That's the same verse from Kathopanishad. But the first two lines, ya enam veti hantaram, Krishna has to replace that hanta chen manyate hantur, hadas chen manyate hatam. If the killer thinks in terms of killing, and if the killed thinks as killed, both of them do not know. It does not kill, nor is it killed. So, Krishna is saying that enam veti hantaram, that one who is thinking that I am killing somebody, that is his foolishness. Because once you understand what is Krishna, Krishna is present in everyone. So who is killing whom? That is the point Krishna is making here. Then Krishna is saying to Arjuna that you are thinking that you are going to kill Bhishma, Drona and everybody. That is because of your ignorance, that you cannot kill Bhishma or Drona. They don't get killed. Nor they can kill you either. The Atma, the soul, is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. These things we have superimposed on the soul of killing and getting killed. Both of them are not products that can be killed, neither of them. Krishna is speaking, taking to this understanding that we are soul. Krishna is not talking like us, we are the body. That's why he is saying like this. We must remember that. That you may think, oh, how can Krishna say he's not getting killed, his body is going. As far as Krishna is concerned, body has no existence even. We are mistakenly, because we are so used to bodily identity and we are used to relating with other bodies in the same way, when Krishna makes a statement like this, we get confused. We say, how can Krishna say that he doesn't get killed? Killing, as far as Krishna is concerned, body has no reality. It is only a temporary thing that is existing there due to, if you remember, we talked yesterday also in the Bhagavadam, that the gross body, we got it, which is not our real identity. From the soul's position, we came to Sushupti state, then to Sopnam state, then to Jagrat state when we got this gross body. Isn't it? Gross body came much later in our... And it is this gross body you are talking about. Krishna says, you are not that. You are actually the other person, where the first Jiva state when you started this journey in the form of the avidya in the Sushupti, and then the Sopnam state in the dream state when you got the subtle body, and then it is a final state when you got this gross body with all the desires inside, so and the false ego. So if you are thinking that you are killing that person, Jiva never gets killed. Jiva remains there. All you are doing is you are trying to destroy this body. And Krishna doesn't call it as the soul is never get killed. It cannot be killed. Because it is like that, soul doesn't do anything. It is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Krishna says to Arjuna, it is this secret what you have to know first before you saying anything. Because Arjuna is fighting here, Krishna is talking about killing. Otherwise, killing is not recognized. We should not think that, oh, this is only applicable to Arjuna and his war. No. Actually, it is also talking about us in this world. Us in this world. In our dealings also with this world, if we think that we are doing this, it's exactly like Arjuna was thinking. Arjuna is thinking he was killing. So the same understanding, if it comes to us that I am doing this, I am doing that, then Krishna says that's also a misunderstanding. Because by nature, not to do anything is our nature. We are peaceful by not doing anything. Not that by doing we become peaceful. Nobody has become peaceful in this world by doing things. By doing things, all what has happened is they get more and more disturbed over it. At some point, karma vasana, that is why karma is given this special special position, that karmam binds. Karmam creates vasanas. Vasanas creates movement of the mind, and when the mind gets disturbed, there is automatically activities coming from that. That is prakriti. What actually does the karmam is prakriti. Material nature is doing that. There's always activities going on within the body. There's activities going on within the mind as well. And in the Karana Shariram, in the form of Vasana Chayam, how the Vasanas goes away from the Karana Shariram, in that way Karma is going on in the Karana Shariram as well. So in all the three bodies, Karana Shariram, Sushma Shariram and Stula Shariram, Karma is constantly happening. But the only place where is though Karma happening is within the self. There Karma cannot touch anything. Isn't it? Karma cannot touch the soul. But in the three bodies of Stula, Sushma, Karana, Shariram, the karmam is going on all the time. If you are not doing anything, still inside karmam is going on in the mind. In the mind karmam is happening, the thoughts coming through. That's the karmam of the mind. And avidya or sushma shariram, vasana kshayam is happening. More vasanas are getting transferred from karana shariram to sushma shariram. That way karma is going through karana shariram also. But in the stura shariram, when we engage in gross activities in this world, karma happens as well. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, there is no time when stulam, sushmam, karana shariram are not involved in activities. Karma is constantly happening. Where karma does not happen is in the soul. Soul is not engaged in any karma, and that is your true identity. That's the first point Krishna is making. That the identity with the soul is so important, that if we identify with the soul, karma does not touch us. If you identify with the false ego, karma immediately binds us. Then all the other subsequent conditioning begins. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all the results must come. And if the results don't come, I get unhappy. If the results come, I am happy. And depending on whether the results are favorable or unfavorable, a desire builds up inside. We engage in more karma after that. So this way, karma binds us more and more to this world. Nayam hantine hanyade. In Swarupam, in one's own form, karma has no touch. Then, as soon as there is a small pulse developing inside, karma has started inside the body. Inside the body. Nayam handine hanyate. That only thing Krishna says, that only thing what you have to know, that you can see, when you start finding out who you are, you will know that the false ego has no place there. That means, when you constantly look through this scenario, you can understand that it's only the false ego and the material body and the intelligence and the senses, they are engaged in all these activities. It is not the self who is engaged in the activity. Self has no involvement in anything. Krishna wants us to separate the self from the body. Because these are things which requires continuous analysis inside. Otherwise, what we are thinking is, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. And we go on after doing. Whole time it is doing, going on. And eventually we come back, and if the results were no good, we blame Krishna for that. Krishna already tells us that you are not the doer. The doer, your real identity is the soul, the spirit soul. You have nothing to do with the activities and its results. Prakriti, material nature, is conducting that. On basis of that, you are acting here. That kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam has come from that. So, here, he says here that once you realize that kartrutvam, I am the doer, and it has no place in this, then when you know that ahankaram is not doing, ahankaram has no place in me, or false ego has no place in me, immediately the kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam will go. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam will go. So, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, is linked to the false ego. That's another important point. That it is a false ego that is linked to kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Kartrutvam means I am the doer, and bhoktrutvam means I am the enjoyer. So those, when ahankaram goes away, or false ego goes away, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer will also go automatically. Then, once in a devotee's case, once we know that Krishna is doing everything, or one who is surrendering to Krishna in that understanding, kartrutva bhoktrutvam will also go. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam will also go. Kartrutva nasham, or when kartrutvam goes away, that is liberation. That is liberation. There is nothing else liberation is talking about. We think liberation is something which kept somewhere else, millions of miles away, we have to go there to get it. Isn't it? That's how we understand liberation. Most of us think like this, I'll do my 16 rounds, I'll live my life in this world. When I die, I'll chant the holy name and then I'll go and get my liberation which is kept for me in Golokam. I'll go and get it there. So with this understanding, we live in this world. Krishna says here that this liberation has to happen right now here. If you are thinking that it is kept somewhere else, it's not going to happen. We all have this misunderstanding that I have got into spiritual life now, And I've got the knowledge now about the spiritual life. I got the full information, as they say. I got the full information. And whenever they talk about it, the questions also, you will see, if you look at them, when they ask questions, they are only thinking that, right now I'm perfectly situated, everything I'm doing is pakka. Only thing is, when I leave this body, I want to make sure that where I'm going, the liberation is ready, they're waiting for me. This is the misunderstanding in our mind, nothing else. So they ask questions like this, that what's the facilities in Goloka when I go there? Is everything perfect there when I get there? Is all organized properly? Because I'll be coming there as a liberated soul, isn't it? I'm ready there to get my liberation. I'm kept there in my cupboard, ready for me to pick it up. So in this way we understand liberation. Krishna says, no, it won't work. It doesn't happen. That's why in the 11th chapter, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, ബന്ധോ മുക്ത ഇതി വ്യാഖ്യ ഗുണതോമേന്ന വസ്തുത ഗുണസ്യ മായാ മൂലത്വാൽ നമേ മോക്ഷോ ന ബന്ധനം. ബോണ്ടേജ് ആൻഡ് ലിബറേഷൻ ഈസ് നോട്ട് സംവെയർ എൽസ്, ഇറ്റ്സ് റൈറ്റ് ഹിയർ ഇൻസൈഡ് ടുഡേ. റൈറ്റ് നൗ ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ഹാപ്പൻ. ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഡസൻ ഹാപ്പൻ ഹിയർ ടുഡേ, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് സംവെയർ ഗോയിങ് ടു ഹാപ്പൻ എൽസ്വെയർ ലേറ്റർ. ഇറ്റ് വോണ്ട് ഹാപ്പൻ. സോ ദിസ് ഈസ് എൻ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഇൻ ലൈഫ്, ദാറ്റ് വി സംഹൗ ഡ്യൂ ടു അവർ കണ്ടീഷനിങ്. ഐ വിൽ സേ ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ഡ്യൂ ടു അവർ കണ്ടീഷനിങ് that when we came to spiritual life and we came to hear that a thing called soul exists and we are that soul and all that, no other realization has happened in this life. So we started thinking, yes, one day we will get there eventually. We'll get there. We are on our way anyway. So today in this world I can do what I want and I live, make my life comfortable here first. And then when I go there, it's already waiting for me there. So this ignorance comes in. That is why even after coming to spiritual life, we are still able to go back to material life and do it in a way which we want to fulfill all our desires. It's coming from that. That if had the proper spiritual understanding had come, then this idea will go, will not happen to us. We think that the material life should go on very well. So if spiritual life can help me for that, the world says that I am a devotee. The world tells me he has put on tilak and dhoti, everything, so he should be a devotee. So I'm already in the club. I've already joined the club. So when I get there, they'll be ready for me to take it, to pick it up. This foolishness thing comes to our head. And then life, day after day, we go on living like this, in this ignorance. And but then when you leave the world, Krishna says, you may not get there and nothing is kept for you anywhere to pick it up. It's not there anywhere. So right now, Krishna's point is this, that gunasya maya moolatval name mokshona bandhanam, that this realization of moksham and bandham must happen here today while living within this body. That's why these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, are very, very important. Not to mislead us to something falsely, to think that somewhere else something is kept for us. Today, right now, what we realize from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that is our realization. That's our realization. Whatever that we have accepted wholeheartedly within us, and what we have translated into our own life today, here, right now, is that what we have gained in this life spiritually. Thinking that I have done so much service here, I have chanted so many rounds there, I made so many parakramas there, I'll get the results there when we go, that is bogus. That is not going to happen. Because while doing all these things, you are thinking you are this body and doing it. Isn't it? Not an inch you have moved away from that position. So all the parikramas, all the rounds chanted, all the service you have done will only become useful if this understanding you have acted in this world and done everything. But it was never done in that way. So that's the important point. Krishna is saying here, gunasya maya moolatval name moksho na bandhanam. Moksham and bandham is nothing but a game played by maya on us. When the influence of maya, false ego builds up inside, and due to false ego we identify with the body and activities, and I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. If that comes to spiritual life also, where is the difference between the materially motivated person and the spiritually motivated person? Both are motivations coming from false ego, isn't it? When you have false ego motivating you, all your so-called pilgrimages and the so-called services also is in the same platform as a person who is working in this world with motivation. So motivation has to go from inside, and freedom from false ego will only happen when this knowledge is working inside. Otherwise it has no influence on us, isn't it? That means I've read Bhagavad Gita, like, just like our Bhagavad Gita reading on the Gita Jayanti day. All the Bhagavad Gita I read on Bhagavad Gita on Gita Jayanti day. I've done that. Finished with that. Done that. But nothing has changed inside. So this understanding is a big problem, because majority people fall into that category. They take spiritual life in that way. Masses will always go in that direction, and accordingly they will also find that after a while spiritual life is not more any more exciting. It's not more giving them any life, proper life after that. So in order to explain that, we have to take everything what Krishna has spoken very, very seriously. Every single word. Why he said this? What is the significance of this? And that is when we understand, like we said about Aprameyasya, Krishna says that I am inside you as Ishvara, controller of everything. And the more we realize that, our decision making also will change accordingly. So, Anashino Aprameyasya, Krishna says here, isn't it? So, having said that, Krishna says here that the Kartrutva Nasham is Mukti. Kartrutva Bhoktratvam, if one, so long as one has Kartrutvam and Bhoktratvam, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, even if he goes into Samadhi, his Samadhi is not Samadhi. It's not a proper Samadhi. even if this is understood intellectually it's clear, but jnade vastudi ahamehu idana yadi samsara hedu, even if you have understood that intellectually, if it's not realized properly, it will bring you again material existence. That's the biggest problem. You see, these things, kartrutva bhoktrutvam, we understand on an intellectual level, isn't it? On a intellectual level, we understand kartratvam, bhoktratvam is not right, isn't it? But we are unable to give it up. Again, very quickly it catches us back. I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer thinking. It doesn't go away easily. When we discuss it, we understand. That means on an intellectual platform, we have understood that it's not right. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Bhagavad Gita is saying this, Bhagavadam is also saying the same thing, isn't it? Prakrdeya kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate, Bhagavad Gita says. Kartasmini nibhadyate, Bhagavadam says. So, intellectual understanding is not enough. That's what it says here. That it says in here that the ज्ञादे वस्तुन्यपिबलवदि वासनानादिरेषा कर्ता भोक्ता अहमिति दृढा यास्य संसारहेतुम् प्रत्यग्द्रष्टश्चास्मनि निवसदा सापनेया प्रयन्त्या भुक्तिर्प्राहुर्तदिह पुनयो वासना तानवम्यल्. Even after the Kartha Bhokta Ahamidi Dhridha Yasya Samsara Hetu, that even if one has made a lot of progress in the sadhana, one has done it, there are very many people who are very fixed in their sadhana, in spiritual life. They have that. They are very fixed and they are very strict and they execute sadhana rigidly. Very rigidly they execute their sadhana. And they are called sadhana sambannas. They mean they are rich with their sadhana, capacity to execute sadhana. But even they have reached that stage, he says here, jnade vastunya vibalavadi vasana adireshaha. But the vasanas have not gone away from inside. What is that vasana? Kartur bhoktur ahamidi. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Even while executing sadhana, they are thinking, I am doing this. And even when the sadhana is bringing some little results, he is enjoying that. So imagine how subtle the whole thing is. Yeah? We think that I am enjoying this only in our activities outside. When you do sadhana, you are also thinking I am doing this sadhana. And when the results are coming from sadhana in some form, just like some peace of mind or some spiritual happiness that comes from sadhana, you are identifying with that and thinking that I am enjoying this sadhana. Just like kirtan, for example. A first-class kirtan, nice music, full of instruments, everyone singing very well. You participate in that kirtanam, and then you are sitting there and listening to the kirtanam, and after half an hour or so, you have enjoyed the music very well, and you feel a certain kind of happiness. Why do you feel that happiness? Because at that point in time, while you are hearing the kirtanam, the false ego is not there. Kirtanam is directly going to the soul. Soul is enjoying that. That's why that kirtanam is giving happiness. But as soon as you leave the kirtan room and comes out, immediately you feel very depressed also. That, oh, I finished now, the kirtan is over. And you have to deal with the mundane things. But it is only when you start thinking that aham ahamiti, that kirtanam was giving me happiness, or I was enjoying it. I, separating from that kirtanam, because nobody separates them, everybody separates themselves from the activity. Isn't it? It says here, kartar bhokta aham iti mrida yasya samsara hedu. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So long as it is there, even in spiritual activities, you have to come back. You have to come back. Samsara hetu. Samsara hetu means it is a cause for material existence again. It's a cause for material existence again. So you can see how subtle this whole thing is. How subtle the whole thing is. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. It is very difficult to give it up even in our material life. What to talk about spiritual life? Even in material life, it is difficult to give it up, isn't it? Certain activities with a lot of individual effort, you manage to deal with the situation and come out of it without getting scratched. In other words, without getting affected by I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Say you manage to do that. But if it becomes a very serious matter in life, it will be very, very difficult to do that, isn't it? Whether it's a husband or a wife or anybody, doesn't matter. That this I am the doer, I am the enjoyer will always be there in all of us. Whether it is a brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, doesn't matter. In all these things, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is there. It doesn't go away. And to act above this platform is very, very difficult. Extremely difficult to get out of this identity. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. It doesn't go away easily. Just like Krishna says to Uddhava at the end yesterday, that so long as all these things are there, you have to follow the rules. That's where Varnashrama Dharmam and other the Karmanishta was discussed. How to engage in Karmanishta, how to engage in Yananishta. These things are necessary for them. But you have reached that state of bhakti, then this I am the doer, I am the enjoyer would have gone from a person. So therefore Krishna says to Uddhava, don't worry about it, you have gone beyond all these things. You don't have to worry anymore about it. But here, what Krishna is saying here is that yadi samsara hetu, that it does not go away even after coming to spiritual life. We are thinking, okay, I am engaged in spiritual life, I am chanting my rounds, I am doing deity worship, I am reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I am going on parikrama, I am doing this service in the temple, that I am still there, right in front of you, guiding you through. So, kartratvam bhoktratvam, what it says, karta bhokta aham iti mudrida yasya samsara hetu. That as long as it is very dridam, very deep rooted inside, it is samsaram again. Coming back to material existence again. So, nyadevastu samsara hetu. Even if I feel that when I come out of the room, oh, I've spoken about it very well, haven't I? Everything I've spoken correctly, isn't it? Again, I'm thinking that kartratvam has gone away from inside. That's what it means. So it is very difficult to take this kartratvam away from inside. That bhoktratvam also. This one particular thing, Kartrutva Bhoktatvam, it even mesmerizes people who have even studied all the Upanishads. After studying Upanishads and understanding everything, because it has not come into as inside, it is very difficult, extremely difficult, to wipe out this I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Why do we have arguments and fights in spiritual life? The cause is this. Otherwise there should be no reason to fight in the spiritual world, at least, isn't it? Once you come to spiritual life, at least, there is no reason to fight, because we are looking for spiritual realization. We are not fighting over property, money, or position, followers, fame, these things. If you are doing these things, that means aham kartra, aham bhokta is still there. Kartratvam and bhoktratvam is there. But on a theoretical level, if you look at it, once you come to spiritual life, there should not be any reason to fight for anything. But the fact that there is still fight goes on in spiritual life shows that we have not come out of this. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That is why Acharya says, be very conscious of this point. Dradam ahamiti. It is very deep rooted inside. Even after your so many years and years of sadhana, you won't be able to free yourself from this. So that powerful it is. Karta bhokta ahamidi drida yasya samsara hedu. Samsara means material existence. The cause of that is this thing. As long as this is there, even if you have done executed sadhana for thousands of years, if this has not gone away, come back again here. That is Krishna's point. And accept another body from that. Then, so, says here, then, samsara hedu. Krishna says that liberation means how one completely wipes out the vasanas from inside. That means kartratvam and bhoktratvam must go from inside. And in order to do that, Krishna's suggestion is pratyak drishti. Pratyak drishti means shifting the attention towards the soul all the time. There is no other way you can escape from this without doing that. Simply by sadhana, it may not happen. Why? Because the attention is on the false ego all the time. It is from false ego, doer enjoyer coming. So if the attention from false ego is not shifted to the self, to the soul, this aham kartatvam and aham bhoktratvam will not go. That's the point Krishna is making there. So you can see from this how important it is that this one particular point Krishna is stressing on. Isn't it? Kartratvam and bhoktratvam. That whenever this ahangaram or false ego comes in, develops inside, immediately the inquiry must begin, from where has it come? From where has it come? So, actual situation, realized state is, when we exist while within this body, without false ego, that's a realized state, without identification with the false ego. Then, every time when we are conscious of this, without allowing this identity to rise inside, identity of false ego to rise inside, and we are able to shift our attention from false ego to the real self, that point we are immediately liberated. Immediately we are liberated. In two ways, we mentioned before that this can happen. One, through analyzing the knowledge of the self, that means properly distinguishing between the self and the false ego, and constantly taking our attention from the false ego to the self. That is what the jnanis do. The other alternative is to completely hand over everything to Krishna. We have to do one of these things. That's the only way it will happen. Not to institution, to Krishna directly. When we hand over everything to Krishna, completely surrenders, that I'm not doing anything. Everything what you prompt me to do from within, I will carry on doing this. Good results, bad results come, you will be able to accept it, that it was Krishna who wants it that way. Without complaint, you have to continue with life. So either through Sharanagati, which is Sharanagati, is a devotee's approach, or through Jnani's approach with constantly shift, keeping his attention fully focused on the real thing, the self, without allowing the false ego to take over, in these two ways, one can get out of this Kartatvam and Bhoktatvam. Otherwise not. So you can imagine, it's a very big demand on us. It's not a very easy thing. Sometimes we say, oh, but for devotee everything is very simple, very easy. Jnani is a very difficult process. It's very difficult to do it. So, and whenever you do, Bhagavadam is all about bhakti, we say, isn't it? Bhakti. And bhakti process is such a simple process. It's very easy to do it. You have to chant 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, and that's it. If you do that whole life, and somewhere else our liberation is waiting. But the fact is like this, that these hurdles are there in between Kartratvam, Bhoktratvam. That has to overcome. Kartratvam and Bhoktratvam is there means, what happens? Raga Dvesham will be there inside. Attachment and aversion will also be there. So Krishna's point is this, that you have these two options. Through the Jnana Margam, if you seriously become absorbed in Jnana Margam, you always focused on the soul. Never allow for a second to move towards a false ego. And everything what happens, to accept it, that the false ego is not doing it. For false ego is doing it, I have nothing to do with it. And keep your attention focused on the soul, on the self. That is the Jnani's process. The devotee's process is, I cannot do anything. I am totally helpless. Everything is in Krishna's hands. And hand over everything to Krishna to manage. Which means that whatever happens in life, good or bad, doesn't matter. Any kind of distress that comes in life, or any kind of happiness that comes in life, without identifying with it, to accept that it is Krishna who has done that. That is Sharanagati. So you saw, Sharanagati is not an easy thing. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when this story of Rahugana and Bharat Maharshi, the Jadabharata story happens there. Jadabharata explains all this to Rahugana, isn't it? Rahugana was a king, he was a powerful king. And Rahugana was going, looking for a spiritual master, he was actually at that time, Kapila Maharshi lived. And he was going to see Kapila Maharshi. Rahugana was a very educated person. He has studied all the Shastram very well. But he hasn't had any realization yet. That happens to people. You study a lot of Shastram, but you have no realization. It's a very difficult stage in life, spiritual life. That after studying Shastram, intellectually you have absorbed everything, and you are convinced that what you have studied is true, and it must become now your realization. Yeah. So that's when he was going to meet the spiritual master, looking for a spiritual master. He heard about Kapila Maharshi's ashram, and he was going to see Kapila Maharshi at that time. It is on the way that he meets Jadabharata. Bharata Maharshi he meets on the way. And as you know the story of the history in the Bhagavadam, when Bharata Maharshi is in his third birth now, he was first as Emperor Bharata, then the deer, and now the Brahmana's body in the third generation. This is his last birth. He has to give up this body and go back to spiritual world. So Bharata Maharshi won't speak to anybody because he knew very well, in the last birth, I got into trouble because of this. Because of my showing my compassion for the deer, I got into trouble. It was the Sattugunam which was working there. The Sattugunam in him. He had so much Sattugunam. Emperor who had given up this whole planet. Bharata Maharaj was the emperor of the whole planet. And he has given up this whole planet and come to practice spiritual life in Gandaki River. And while executing spiritual life in the Gandaki River, he fell in love with this deer. He gave up this whole planet and came here to execute spiritual life. Now, what has happened to him? At that moment, Sattugunam trapped him. The Sattugunam inside, the Karunyam or the Daya or mercy for other living entities suddenly sprouted from inside. So, when this happens in spiritual life, Bharata Maharshi should have if he has felt the compassion, he was in a very awkward situation, as you know what happened to Bharata Maharshi. He was sitting in the water and chanting Gayatri. Now, Gandaki River, when it comes to this particular point where he was sitting, the river takes into two roads. And right in the middle of these two streams, there was a sand, and it was a proper place to sit, unaffected by anything. So, Bharata Maharshi was sitting on that sand, and he was chanting Gayatri, looking at the sun. Savidru Mandala Madhyavarti, he says there. Narayana, Krishna, who is present in the sun planet as Savidru Mandala Madhyavarti. That is the form of Krishna in the sun planet. Meditating on that form, he was chanting his Gayatri. It was then that this deer, the pregnant deer, came that way, suddenly heard the sound of the lion roaring, and out of fear, it jumped across the stream. It jumped across the stream. And to the side where Bharata Maharshi was sitting, when the deer jumped across, its pregnancy has dropped outside. In other words, the baby deer fell off from the belly. It fell into the water. And the mother who crossed in that jumping, it crossed the stream, but out because of the fear and because of this incident with the pregnancy, she fell and died there. The mother died straight away. But the baby deer fell into the water and started flowing through. When it started flowing through, it came close to Bharata Maharaj's side where he was sitting, to that stream, and he thought that immediately that all philosophy, everything was forgotten completely. This is how it happens in life, isn't it? Suddenly it strikes you at some point, and you, before even you can think about anything, you have to make the decision right at that moment. So he had to make that decision immediately. He thought that it is not right for me to sit and watch this, especially a young baby deer coming out. She has nobody else, and I should protect that. That feeling came to him. So what did he do? Immediately picked up the baby from the water. Now, here the commentators questions about Bharata Maharaj's activity. Bharata Maharaj picked up the deer from the water, and he should have taken the deer. Fine, right thing he did, out of karunyam, out of his mercy for the deer, he has done that. He has done the right thing. But what happened after that? He took the deer and he found some other deer to feed the milk for the baby. And then by now, slowly the attachment started building up with the deer. The beautiful eyes of the deer, the spots on the body, and now and then the baby will come and lick Bharata Maharaj's body. So all these things, attachment started building up inside. Acharya says, Bharata Maharaj did the right thing, but he should have left that deer with other deers and came out of that attachment straight away. Instead, what did he do? He carried on. He thought, this baby deer has nobody else to look after except me. With this attachment, it started growing. So after some time, Bharata Maharaj says to Raghugana about this. He says, I've forgotten all about chanting Gayatri. I've forgotten about my spiritual commitments, sadhana and all gone. Now my main business has become looking after this deer. Looking after the deer has become the main business. So he's saying there that I given up my whole empire and left everything and came to Gandaki River so that they don't attack me anymore. That's why I gave it up. Now what does happen? This little deer has taken me away from this all the way. So he says, the power of Maya is unbelievable. What Maya can do to us, any moment in life. Maya is such a thing that when you try to do something, with some understanding, you try to do something, immediately she will send another. In some form, it will attack you. Here it has come in the form of goodness, you see. It was not a passion or ignorance. The quality of mercy is goodness. It's in goodness you have this quality, isn't it, of mercy. And that is what has caught hold of our Bharata Maharaj. So Bharata Maharaj, because Krishna says, Krishna archana prabhavo no jhati. How do I remember all this? Because when I was in the Bharata Maharaj's body, I have pleased Krishna a little bit. If you please Krishna, what will happen is these lessons what we have learned, it will follow you. It won't be forgotten. So that is why he says, when I got the deer's body, because he had to accept the deer body because of this at the time of death, thinking about the deer, he has to leave the body, and he got another deer's body. So in that deer's body, he was completely conscious of what happened in his previous life. How he fell from the position of Bharat Maharaj role, how he fell down to this level. So when deer's body, he left the deer body, he decided that I will not allow this to happen anymore. Under no circumstances I will get victimized by Maya. This decision was very strong inside. And that is why when he came into this third life as the Jataparatha stage, where he was walking around, he made a decision, I will not talk to anyone. Because if you talk to somebody only, then the relationship will build up. So he was so determined not to get involved with anyone. So, and before you talk to anyone, he will think million times, should I talk to him or not? Should I talk to him or not? So careful he was in his spiritual life, that even when Srivar Bhadragali came to him and asked him, do you want me to help you? He won't speak to her. He says to her, you look after yourself, don't worry about me. He says to who? To Bhadragali, he says this. She was daughter. Isn't it? Bhadragali, she was daughter. You remember that story, don't you? In Calcutta, that is the temple what they call as Dakshineshwar now. It is that temple where Kali is worshipped. The Ramakrishna Mission and their place is centered around that temple. That's where this incident happened. So, Bhadragali in the temple, so it's in a very ancient temple, Dakshineshwaram they call it. In that temple, when this incident happened, Jadabharata was taken there. You know that story, how he was brought in there by the king's, by the person who was going to sacrifice him for the in front of Kali. So, Kali decided to protect him. So that time when Kali first pulled the sword out of the hands of the pujari and took his head off first. In the Bhagavatam we can read all this. He took his head off. And then he took the head of all the other people who are the supporters of this, the person who was conducting this sacrifice. He did all that. She did all that. And then she comes dancing in front of our Jadabharata and says to Jadabharata, what can I do to please you? So he says to her that you look after yourself, I don't need anything from you. This is Jadabharata, the determination inside. Emperor Bharata in this body is talking like this. And there Kali wanted to speak to him, but he would not. He was not interested in talking to her. But later on you see, when Rahugana came, and Rahugana did all this nonsense to him, wanted him to carry the palanquin, and then Rahugana was chastising him, sitting in the palanquin on the top. He was chastising the man who was carrying the palanquin. If you look into that conversation, he says to him that Kovida Bhagavatam, you will mention this, that he says to Rahugana, you are talking so much. Exactly like Krishna says to Arjuna, you talk so much, but whatever you have talked is all nonsense. So when he said that, king was shocked. He's a king, isn't it, lying in the palanquin. And here is someone, the other three people have managed to get him to carry this. And he was causing the problem with the palanquin, because he was not walking at the same speed as the other three were doing. So Rahugana stopped it and looked at him. And because he had studied Shastram and he had some understanding that Mahatmas can appear anywhere, in any body. So he started thinking, am I doing something wrong here? That thought has occurred in Rahugana's mind. So that's when he asked Jadabharata, that who are you? By appearance you look that you are not an ordinary person. And he was able to identify that Brahmatejasa. Brahmatejasa means that the shining effulgence from coming from a spiritually realized soul. He could locate that on his face. He also noticed this thread which was completely dirty hanging around his the Brahmana thread around him. So he says to him, who are you? And then he started asking, are you the Kapila Maharshi whom I am looking for? And look at Ahuganna's mood, immediately fell on the feet and showed surrender to him. And says to him, I have committed a great mistake, I didn't know you. Imagine a king doing that. Which king will do that today? Is any one king in this world act like this today? What to talk about the king, even the so-called prime minister or president who's got only 5 years in their pocket, even they won't do that, would they? Even if you say that their culture or their arrogance won't allow them to make any admission like that. But Rahugana, because he had the Shastram behind him to support that, he was able to think in the right way, the right direction. And this little association with Jatabharata has given him that purity, insight to ask that question. The power of association is also there in that. That Jatabharata was able to inject this understanding to him within a very short time. So when he asked this question to Jatabharata, Jatabharata says to him that he thought first, should I talk to him or not? You see how careful they are. If I speak to him, will it be of any help or any benefit to anybody? That's the first thing he thought. They don't want to waste their words. If I say something to this person, is it going to help? Because he is a jnani, he could see immediately what is going through Rahugana's mind inside. So he read that like as clear as a newspaper he was reading through, and he could say that this person is educated, he has knowledge in him. The only problem he has got is he has got this bodily identity very strongly. I am a king. That hasn't gone away. I am this, I am that. I am doing this, I am doing that. That has not left him. He has advanced very much. Rahugana is very advanced. But this identity with the body and I am the doer and I am the enjoyer has not gone still. Even that has not left him yet. So it is then that Jatabharata thought, maybe if I speak to him, it might help him to understand these things for him. Because Rahugana's complaint to Jatabharata was, I have studied everything, but I have no realization on anything. And I am looking for a spiritual master who will give me this understanding. I am going to Kapilashramam to see Kapila Maharshi. Maybe his mercy may help me to get some realization, he says. It is then that Jatabharata decided to speak to him. And he says this, Jatabharata says this to Rahugana, that that your problem, he says, you are Dehabhimani. Your identification with the body is very, very strong. And unless this goes away, nothing else can be done. And then there is a discussion about bodily identity between Rahugana and Jatabharata, which you can read in the Bhagavadam, how that discussion went on. Rahugana asking the question that if you put some rice in a water, and if you keep the water on top of the fire, and when the fire starts burning, the heat will come from the fire to the water first, and from the water it will come to the rice in the water, and eventually the rice will boil, and when the rice boils it becomes very soft, and if you touch the rice immediately you can see it is boiled, it's cooked, isn't it? Rahugana's questions to Jatabharata was, similarly, everything that happens to the body will not go inside and it will affect the soul in the same way. This was the question Rahugana asked to Jatabharata. So if you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see how he explains that. That because of the identity with I am the doer and I am the enjoyer has not gone, Rahugana's identity with the body is not leaving him. He is still thinking in terms of the body. He is not able to separate the body and the soul as the way Jatabharata was separating it. Jatabharata was able to act in the understanding that I am not this body. He let the body to go on its own way. He carried on with the soul as the I am the soul, and in that understanding he is living in that body. Rahugana, on the other hand, is constantly understanding the Shastram but identifying with the body. That was his problem. So there eventually Rahugana's illusion goes away when Jatabharata speaks to him about that. That you have to go back into Bhagavadam and look at it. So Krishna is saying here that in the same way Kartrutvam Bhoktrutvam will not leave anyone very easily. It is not possible to leave that. And similar, Krishna says here that in Atmavicharam or in the analysis of the soul, if this situation that that unless you have completed the understanding that I am not this body and the attention is on the soul, or you have handed over everything to Krishna to manage the affairs, this vikaram or this emotion will develop in both cases, whether you are a jnani or you are a bhakta. Irrespective of you are a jnani or a bhakta, this understanding that I am doing, I am enjoying, this will come if the other thing has not happened, we mentioned before. So therefore, the importance Krishna says there, all the liberated souls, they have acted on this platform. Jivan Mukta, liberated souls, they will act on this platform. An example, once a person boarded a train. So he had some luggage with him. He had some luggage, a suitcase or something. So he got into the train and then he took the suitcase and kept it on his own head. He says, the train is already carrying me. Why should I make the train to carry the suitcase as well? I'll keep the suitcase on my head, but I, at least the train is carrying me. The suitcase I'll carry, he says. So it's like that, us, in this world. When we hand over to Krishna something, you have to hand over everything. You can't keep something with yourself and then something for Krishna. That is not handing over. Handing over means 100%. Otherwise, it's not handing over. And that's what we are not ready for. And that's why we are here still. Handing over is not complete. So we are like the passenger in the train. The suitcase we want to keep, and we hand over everything else to Krishna. So these are examples given to make us understand that the Krishna consciousness, when it's not fully understood and fully practiced, the results also will not be full. It will be partial. The results won't happen the way we like that to happen. So Krishna says here that the this is only an example that's been given, but there's a story in Akbar's novels. If you read, you know, Akbar had a famous minister called Birbal. So Birbal, once Akbar used to talk very funny things with Birbal. So Akbar says to Birbal, go and find out a big fool in this world, he says, and bring him over here, he says. So Birbal goes out, and Birbal saw a man who was sitting on a donkey, and he has kept a cloth bundle, everything on his head, and he was moving, sitting over the donkey. So he called the man and says to him, why do you carry that cloth? Why don't you put it on the donkey? Oh, no. Donkey is doing a great service for me already. I don't want to put the load on the donkey. He says, come on, let's go to Akbar now. Akbar wants to see you, he says. He takes him to Akbar. And he says, Akbar, my dear king, I brought the person you are looking for. Here he is. He says, he has come with the whole thing. So like this, so that is not... That swatantram or freedom, what we exercise in our own life, is not freedom as far as Krishna is concerned. That means the more our realization of Krishna inside, Ishvara, Aprameyasya, if that realization is deeper, then we will surrender more to Krishna. Otherwise we won't surrender. So when that realization is not there, the surrender will not happen. And in the Bhagavadam, this is spoken very nicely. Yasya mutadamo loke, yasya buddhe param gada. That two type of people are happy in this world, Bhagavadam says. Two types of people are happy in this world. Our intelligence is our biggest problem, because intelligence comes in every time and tells us, don't go in that route. That's not very intelligent. They'll say, our common sense tells me that this is what I have to do. And we go. So that means no surrender will happen. No surrender will happen. So Bhagavadam says, Yasya mutatamo loke, Yasyabhudhe Paramgada. That two types of people in this world are happy. One, who is that happy? That one is Paramahamsa, who has completely surrendered everything to Krishna. He has no anxiety about anything. He is completely relaxed. Because inside there is no responsibility. He is totally surrendered to Krishna. The other person is the Mudha. Mudha things. Like that. He is so Mudha, he is so foolish that he is also happy. Everything is going on, whatever. What does it matter? That kind of approach in life. He is not interested, he is not bothered about surrender, he is not bothered about anything, he just wants enjoyment in this world. Little enjoyment, if he gets it here and there, a little bit, he is satisfied. A lot of misery will become, he will cry also along with that. But then when little happiness he gets here and there, he gets peaceful, he is satisfied with that. That is Mudha, Mudha's nature, isn't it? Yes, Mudha Ramo Loke, Yashta Buddhe Paramgada, Shabuddhe Paramgada. That the other person who has completely freed himself from intelligence and offered everything to Krishna and surrendered, he is also happy. It is this in between, like us, who are neither surrendered nor to that extent mudha in that way, that has to suffer. Though Krishna is saying here, nahandine hanyade hanyamani, that one who is thinking I am killing and one who is thinking I am getting killed, both are fools. Krishna says here, isn't it? Dukham sukham. Ajnani, ignorant person thinks like that. Sukham and dukham is coming. And he is also ignorant. And when things happen like that, one who is inquiring, that ahangaram, false ego, is bringing the distress. False ego is bringing happiness. This is all the cause of, the root of all this is false ego. That is the point Krishna wants us to recognize. Our real identity is Sat Chit and Anandam. The experience of happiness and distress is material nature. And like a season comes and goes, Dukham and Sukham is also comes and goes. as much as when the season comes, if you have to stay unaffected by that, this particular verse has to go in. What is that verse? Krishna says here, isn't it? Nahandini nahanyate. Isn't it? Nahandini nahanyate. Ya enam veti handaram eschainam manyate hatam. Ubhau tau na vijanido nayam hanti nahanyate. Nayam hanti na hanyate. Krishna says there. So, nayam hanti na hanyate. Krishna, why is he stressing on this point? Because it is from these two words, nayam hanti na hanyate, how Krishna wants us to deal with this world outside. Not only in relationship with the soul Krishna is talking about. We must remember that. Okay, at this point in time, because of Arjuna's involvement with the battlefield, in the battlefield with the war, Krishna has spoken like this. Isn't it? Krishna has spoken like this. But it applies equally to us all who are dealing with the world. What Krishna mentions here is Nayam Hanti Nahanyate. That I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. It is the same thing. Nayam Hanti Nahanyate. I am thinking that I am doing this. And somebody is doing this to me. That is this, I am doer, I am enjoyer, isn't it? When you say, I am enjoying, means the results are coming from my activity. So, if we are getting affected by that, it means that we are in the same category as Arjuna is now. Arjuna is in that situation now, isn't it? Arjuna is saying, oh, if I kill Bhishma Drona, what will happen? And if Bhishma Drona kills us, what will happen? This is going through Arjuna's mind. So that's why Krishna says to Arjuna that what he mentions here, that the nayam hanti nahanyate, nobody kills anybody and nobody is killing you either. Soul cannot kill anyone and so no other soul can kill you either. This doesn't happen. Nahanti nahanyate. That is as far as Arjuna is concerned. If you project that on us, people like us in this world, how does it affect? Because our battle is in this world with the world outside. So if you bring this understanding into your relationship with the world, Krishna says that will protect you. And that's the only way, Nayam Hantina Hanyate, is the only way you can free yourself from the problem of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That's the point. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer must go from inside. In realization it should come. Otherwise it won't work. It won't work. As I said, so many people have studied Upanishads, realized everything, executed very well, sadhana and everything. But this one thing, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, has not left them, even at that stage. So if it is practiced in daily life, Krishna says here, that if in our relationship with the world also, I am not doing, and when the results are coming, Krishna is engaging us and results are coming, Krishna wants it this way, whichever way the result is, good or bad, and not identifying with the result, then you can free yourself from this problem. Otherwise, not. That's the point he says here. If you think in any way that you are affected by the results, even to the slightest degree, Krishna says you are ajnani, you are ignorant. That's the qualification for us. Ajnanam. Ajnani's nature is like this. So you have to imagine, continuously, even if we have to work in this world, you have to work in this consciousness. Otherwise, it's very difficult. So, every work, what we execute in this world, should develop this, strengthen our conviction that Krishna is doing it and results are also coming according to Krishna's desire, not to our desire, which is a very difficult thing, isn't it? We can keep on talking about it for hours and hours, every activity, analyze it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't leave us very easily. As soon as we leave this room and go out, immediately it captures back again. Maya takes over. So, Nayam Hantina Hanyate is not only applies to Arjuna, applies to us as well. It's good to remember that. And whenever any situation happens, if the result is not pleasing for what you have done, at least read this verse at that time. It may help. If the result is good, also you should read this verse. Not that only when the result goes against. Our tendency is when the result goes bad, only then we think. When the results come good, what do we say? I've done it. It's me. Isn't it? If I have not done this, what would have happened? The whole world would have, sky would have come to the earth. This is how deep the whole thing is inside. Isn't it? How many times when we make a little success in life, we remember Krishna? Does it happen any time? Not once it has happened to me, I'm telling you, but I don't know about you. But for me, I forget completely. Krishna is behind it. We think, it must be me, I have done that. Is this ego thing inside is so strong that as soon as there is a little, very little success, nothing much substantial, very little thing happens in life, immediately what happens? That identification with the false ego gets very strong. And then you will touch Bhagavad Gita after a week, next misery comes. That's when you go back to Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is saying, whether a misery comes or a happiness comes, read this verse, Nayam Hantina Hanyate. It's done by Krishna. In everyday's life, everyone has some success and some failure, isn't it? Little success and little failure. In everyone's life it happens. Whether in the work or in the family life or in the social life, whatever it is. There will be something. Little success, you may feel happy about it. And little failure, many failures, when you look at it. And then you feel depressed about it. And you start thinking, what should I do about this? What should I do about that? So constantly mind is reflecting on all these things. Krishna's point is, when the success comes, even if it is small, if you are able to pass it over to me, and similarly, if you are able to pass over to me, when the failure comes, this kartrutva bhoktrutva will leave you. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer will leave you. That's what Krishna is saying here. Saying this, that Krishna is asking Arjuna again to come back to the self, to the soul. And that is the next verse. You will read that verse also. Verse number 20. It's an important verse. Na jayate mriyate va kadachil. Nayam bhutva bhavito vana bhuya. Ajo nityam shashvatoyam puranom. Nahanyade hanyamane sharire Najayate mriyate vakadachil Nayam bhutva bhavidavana bhuya Ajo nitya shashvatoyam purano Nahanyate hanyamane sharire Translation. For the soul, there is never birth nor death. Nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Krishna again takes us to our Swarupam, our real identity. Na jayate mriyate va kadajal nayam bhutva bhavito vanabhuya ajo nityam ajaha nityaha shashvataha puranaha na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Again taking attention from Arjuna, from body to the mind. So you can see Arjuna, Krishna keeps on saying to Arjuna, your whole problem is with this body, your identification with the body. You have not even understood who you are. You are completely misunderstood everything in terms of the body. So therefore he says here that the unless you come out of this, Krishna says here, unless you come out of this, it is not going to happen. That is why he mentions here that the najayade mriyade va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavito vanabhuya ajo nityam shashvatoyam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. That shariram, the body, when I talk about me, Krishna says that is consciousness. And its nature, it is Sachidanandam, isn't it? Sat Chitan Anandam. And one who has understood this point, one who has realized this, for him, he never experiences anymore the birth or death. Birth or death is never experienced by him anymore. That's what the point Krishna is making. Who experiences birth? Who experiences death? This is the question Krishna is putting to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, birth and death is not for you. Birth and death is for the body. And Arjuna is not able to come to terms with it because he was thinking in terms of killing his enemies, killing his opponents and being getting killed by them. All these things was going through Arjuna's mind. So Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna, na jayate mriyate, it has neither birth nor death, that's what you are. Nayam bhutva bhavito vana bhuya, that in the future what will happen, that also it is not in your control. Your nature is ajaha, you are eternal, nityaha, and shashodaha, puranaha, you are the most ancient thing, because there is no time, you have not existed, Krishna said before to Arjuna. So, ajam, nityam, shashvatam, puranam, na hanyade, hanyamane, sharire. Even if you kill the body, your existence is not going to be finished with that. Your existence is never going to be finished with that. So, unless you recognize this point, Arjuna, all your understanding is all on completely on a false level. Completely on a false level. So, Krishna is, you can see here, that in all these verses, Krishna is stressing this one point, that unless we realize the self, unless we realize the self, what we are, we have no alternative except to rot in this world, in the body. This is the most important thing. Why is Krishna saying all these things to Arjuna is, that so long as you are rotting in this world, you have to take it that it's only caused by your bodily identity. Unless you free yourself from bodily identity and come to spiritual identity, this rotting in the world has to carry on. There is no way you can escape from this. So, to pull Arjuna to this identity, of because identity crisis Arjuna has now. He is thinking in terms of the body which he is not. So, here, through these verses, which are coming one after the other, Krishna will keep on stressing this point. The solution to the problem is not fighting with this body. Solution is not that. Solution is to develop this knowledge inside and get realized properly and once for all close this chapter of the bodily misery. That is the only solution left. Because our understanding is how to be happy within this body, isn't it? That's what we are looking for. And all our plans are based in this level. Krishna says this planning must stop, and in bodily level you can never be happy. On the other hand, if you shift your attention from the body and come back to the soul, which you are actually, your problem is solved once for all. And that is self-realization Krishna is talking about. In other words, self-realization is the problem to all the problems of this world. There is no other solution. Self-realization is the only solution. And so long as we don't go in that direction, keep on thinking about the body and repairing the and adjusting the bodily needs, eventually it will all fail. There is nothing you can do about it. That's Krishna's point. We'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.